We've all heard it, maybe even loved it. You kick off a huge tech project, something big like Salesforce, full of promise. And then months, maybe even years later, you're still waiting to see the real impact. It can create a lot of frustration, can it?
Oh, absolutely. It's a really common story, unfortunately. And our sources show something pretty stark. About 83% of Salesforce projects hit major roadblocks.
83%.
Yeah.
Wow.
And often, it's exactly that problem, that they just don't show any early tangible value. It makes it hard to justify the, you know, the huge investment, and maybe more importantly, get the teams actually using it excited.
Okay, 83% is, yeah, well, it tells you this is a widespread thing. So what's the fix? How do you fight that skepticism and, frankly, the risk of the whole thing stalling?
Well, that's what we're digging into today, the idea of quick wins.
Quick wins, right.
These are basically measurable improvements you can actually deliver in the first, say, 30 to 90 days. It's a strategy, really, to get past those initial bumps and build momentum.
So for this deep dive, we're going to unpack what these quick wins actually look like for Salesforce, why they're so critical for success and getting people on board.
Mm-hmm. And we'll give you some real strategies, tactics, and maybe crucially, the pitfalls to watch out for.
And this is all coming straight from our source material today, an article called Fast Track Your Salesforce Implementation with These Quick Win Strategies.
That's the one. It really lays out a path.
Okay, so when we say quick wins for Salesforce, what are we really talking about? What kind of things does the source define here?
The article defines them pretty clearly. Measurable improvements, first 30 to 90 days. Think practical stuff, like streamlining a workflow that everyone hates.
Yeah, okay.
Or getting real-time dashboards up so managers can actually see what's happening. Automating lead routing, getting mobile access, working for the field team.
So not just features for feature's sake.
Exactly. The source calls them proof points. Things that tangibly make someone's daily job better right away. You see a difference.
And that makes so much sense. It bridges that gap, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. Between the tech team building stuff and the business actually seeing a result. It validates the whole project for stakeholders, gets the teams energized.
Mm-hmm. And the data backs it up. The article mentions a really compelling stat. Companies that focus on these early wins are apparently over 3 times more likely to be rated highly successful by their leadership.
3 times. That's significant.
It really is. And it ties directly into that ROI question. Look, Salesforce isn't cheap. You're talking maybe 15 grand for a small setup, but over $200,000 for big enterprise rollouts.
Serious money.
Right. So executives, stakeholders, they expect to see a return and fast. Quick wins are how you turn their skepticism into actual support. They see things improving in workflows they understand.
And the flip side is, if users don't see that early value, they just won't engage, right? The article mentions that while, yeah, almost 90% of businesses see revenue lift post-CRM.
That only happens if people actually use the system actively. No early value, no engagement, no ROI. It's a chain reaction.
Which probably explains that other scary stat you mentioned, nearly 70% of implementations failing to meet their original goals. It sounds like a lack of early wins is a huge factor there.
It seems to be a very significant one, yes.
Okay, so we know why quick wins are crucial. Let's get into the how. The article breaks down strategies by phase, which sounds helpful. Phase 1, establish visibility and automation.
Mm-hmm.
First tactic, build executive dashboards.
Yeah, this is often the fastest way to show value, especially upwards. Think about it. Instead of digging through static spreadsheets that are out of date the minute you create them,
right,
you give them dynamic dashboards, live Salesforce data, auto-refreshing, key metrics right there, pipeline health, conversion rates, maybe case resolution times.
So it changes how they make decisions.
Instantly. It shifts things from being reactive, looking at old data, to being proactive, seeing what's happening now. Builds huge credibility for the platform right out of the gate.
Okay, visibility first. Then the second strategy in phase 1, automate repetitive tasks. This feels like a core promise of CRM, doesn't it?
It really does, and it's a great place for quick wins. We're talking about using Salesforce's automation tools to kill off some of that mind-numbing, error-prone manual data entry.
Like what, specifically?
The source gives examples like setting up lead assignment rules, so leads automatically go to the right rep based on geography or industry, no manual sorting, or automated email sequences that trigger based on certain actions.
And the impact.
The article cites some impressive numbers. potentially boosting productivity by 30-40% and even cutting some operational costs by up to 50%.
Those are serious numbers. It's not just saving time, it's actually freeing people up.
Exactly. It's about reclaiming that human potential. Let the system handle the repetitive stuff. Let your people focus on strategy, on customers, on things that actually require human intelligence. It changes their role for the better.
Okay, phase one sets the stage. Phase two seems to shift focus more towards the users. Empower users and optimize processes. First strategy here, activate Salesforce Einstein for AI insights.
Right. So Einstein is Salesforce's built-in AI layer. It's designed to weave intelligence right into the daily workflow.
AI. That sounds potentially complex for a quick win.
Well, some features can be activated relatively quickly and offer immediate value. Think Einstein-led scoring. It helps reps focus on the leads most likely to convert. Or opportunity insights, which can flag deals that might be at risk.
Ah, so it guides their attention.
Precisely. Einstein forecasting can also give managers more reliable revenue predictions. It's about making Salesforce less of a passive database and more of an intelligent assistant, you know, helping people work smarter.
An intelligent assistant. I like that framing. Okay, and the other big user empowerment piece in phase two, launch Lightning Experience with mobile access. What's Lightning?
Lightning Experience is Salesforce's modern user interface. It's generally more intuitive, visually cleaner, and crucially, it's designed for mobile from the ground up.
And the benefit.
The article mentions productivity boosts up to 41% just from the UI improvements. Plus, you get things like the activity timeline, a clear chronological view of everything that's happened with the customer. And the Lightning App Builder lets you create custom apps or modify layouts without complex coding.
So, more flexibility, easier to use, works on your phone. That sounds like a win for adoption.
Definitely. It makes the system more approachable and usable day-to-day wherever users are.
Okay, that leads us to phase three. Integrate and scale with automation. First tactic, integrate third-party tools. Why is this a quick win?
Because it connects Salesforce to the other tools people already use every day. Think email, calendars, marketing automation platforms, maybe even finance systems.
And the immediate benefit of linking those up.
It breaks down those frustrating data silos. You stop entering the same information in multiple places. It captures all customer touch points in one spot.
The single source of truth idea.
Exactly. Things like simple email and calendar sync or connecting quoting tools to Salesforce, those can deliver value really fast. It makes Salesforce feel like the central hub, not just another separate system to log into.
Makes sense. And the final strategy for this phase, deploy advanced workflow automation. Sounds like we're going deeper than the phase one automation.
We are. Here, the source points to tools like Salesforce Flow or Process Builder. These let you build more complex multi-step automations, again, often without writing traditional code.
Can you give an example?
Sure. You could automate a whole approval process or set up rules for case escalations. A common one is triggering actions based on an opportunity stage change, like when a deal hits negotiation, automatically create a task for the manager to review, update certain fields, send a notification.
So it enforces process and speeds things up.
Right. Ensures consistency, compliance, and helps deals move faster because the system is proactively pushing things along. Takes the burden off individuals to remember every step.
Okay, those phases give a great strategic roadmap. But knowing what to do isn't the same as doing it. Let's talk tactics. How do you actually land these quick wins? First one from the article, start small, scale smart.
This is classic pilot program thinking, but really effective. Don't try to boil the ocean. Start with a small group, maybe 10, 15 engaged users, power users if you can get them.
Why them specifically?
Because they'll give you honest, insightful feedback quickly. You can use their experience to tweak things, fix problems before a mass rollout. Plus, and this is key, they often become your internal champions.
They sell it to their colleagues.
Exactly. They've seen the benefits firsthand, so their endorsement carries weight. It drives adoption much more organically.
Okay, next tactic. Define and track success metrics. Sounds obvious, but maybe harder in practice.
It requires discipline. You need to track system metrics. Are people logging in? Are opportunities moving? Are dashboards being viewed? But critically, you have to link those to tangible business KPIs. Like shorter sales cycles, better win rates, higher customer satisfaction scores, maybe time saved on specific tasks. Making those connections visible, maybe even on an adoption dashboard like the article suggests, builds trust and proves the impact. The data itself becomes proof.
Got it. Then there's secure executive sponsorship. How crucial is this one?
Absolutely critical. The source cites that figure again, 83% of implementations struggle without visible leadership support. It's not enough for execs to just sign the check.
They need to be seen using it.
Yes.
Yeah.
They should actively use the system, talk about its importance, reinforce why it's strategic. Their buy-in signals to everyone else that this matters. It legitimizes the whole effort.
And the final tactic ties all together. Deliver role-based training. Why role-based?
Because generic one-size-fits-all training just doesn't cut it. Sales reps need different things than service agents or operations folks.
So tailor it.
Absolutely. Customize the onboarding. Use a mix of methods, live sessions, videos, good documentation, maybe even peer mentoring. The goal is to show each person how Salesforce helps them in their specific job. That minimizes resistance and gets them productive faster.
Okay, those are solid tactics, but things can still go wrong. The article highlights some common pitfalls. First big one. Avoid over-customization.
This is such a common trap. Salesforce is super flexible, which is great, but it's tempting to try and make it replicate every single process from your old systems.
And that's bad because
it leads to massive complexity, makes upgrades harder, creates technical debt. It just becomes unwieldy. The advice is pretty clear. Aim to use the standard out-of-the-box features for, say, 80% of your needs.
Oh.
Only customize where it delivers truly unique, significant value. Keep it simple where you can.
Makes sense. Pitfall number two, clean your data before migration. We touched on data, but this sounds fundamental.
It absolutely is. I mean, imagine logging into a brand new system and the customer data is wrong, full of duplicates, just messy.
You wouldn't trust it.
Exactly. Bad data kills user trust and derails adoption faster than almost anything. You have to standardize formats, deduplicate records, verify key information before you load it into Salesforce. The source warns poor data quality can cost businesses up to 25% of revenue. It's not just housekeeping, it's strategic.
Wow, 25%.
Okay.
And the final pitfall is less tech, more human, plan for change management.
Yeah, you can build the best system in the world, but if people resist using it, it's useless. Resistance to change is natural.
So how do you address it?
Proactively. Be transparent about why the change is happening. Involve users in the design where it makes sense. Clearly show them the what's in it for me, how this new system makes their job easier or better. And leverage those change champions and quick wins we talked about. They help build positive momentum. It's about managing the people side just as carefully as the tech side.
Okay, so we've got strategies, tactics, pitfalls, but the article mentions pushing things even faster. It introduces this idea of an AI-native approach, using platforms like getgenerative.ai as an example. What does that mean?
This is really about leveraging AI, not just within Salesforce like Einstein, but using AI to accelerate the implementation process itself. These AI native partners use specialized AI agents to automate big chunks of the work.
AI agents doing implementation tasks? Like what?
Well, the source describes a few. A pre-sales agent that can quickly grasp requirements and draft proposals. A design agent that doesn't just list requirements, but analyzes processes and generates optimized user stories and even design blueprints.
So compressing that early discovery work.
Massively. Then you have build and code agents that generate the actual Salesforce configuration, maybe even some Apex code, which is Salesforce's programming language. A test agent automates test case creation and execution, and even a support agent for handling ongoing issues.
That sounds incredibly fast.
The claim is it can be transformative, launching production-ready systems potentially 10 times faster, think days or weeks instead of many months. The source says this approach is already being used across hundreds of projects globally, saving huge amounts of time and cost. It's a different way of thinking about deployment speed.
10 times faster. That's definitely next level. So whether you go the traditional route with quick wins or this accelerated AI path, how do you ultimately measure success and keep the value coming?
It still boils down to tracking. You need those system metrics, logins, usage, records updated, but always tie them back to the business metrics, sales cycle, win rates, time saved. Aim high for adoption, the source suggests, over 75%, ideally pushing past 90% eventually. That shows people are living in the system.
And it's not a one and done thing.
Definitely not. You need continuous optimization. Review user feedback regularly, maybe quarterly. Tweak configurations, roll out new features gradually as people get comfortable. Maybe introduce more advanced things like Einstein GPT or custom components later on. Mm-hmm. It's about building on that initial momentum.
So bringing it all together then, proving those quick wins early in a Salesforce implementation isn't just a nice to have, it's fundamental. It builds that crucial user adoption and stakeholder confidence.
Yeah, it's about showing tangible progress, keeping the energy high, and making sure that big investment actually turns into a powerful engine for the business, not just another piece of software.
This has been incredibly practical, really useful insights, and it makes me think, this whole principle of quick wins, of showing value early to build momentum, how could you apply that same thinking to any new project, any initiative, maybe even learning something new in your own life or work, something to definitely chew on?